The North Texas stories you need to know. This is the All Local from News Radio 1080 KRLD.
Fire crews busy throughout North Texas this afternoon. Blame it on the weather. Several people saw lightning strike in Colleyville before a house there caught fire. The city had to shut down streets in the area. And in Southlake, crews worked for hours to put out a fire in Monte Carlo. The members of the Westlake, Keller, Trophy Club, and Grapevine Fire Departments helped with that one, and everyone is okay.
All right. Well, we know that some of you are trying to travel, and you need to double check on your airline.
KRLD Airport Travel Update.
Because of all of the rain, we have seen some delays and cancellations at our airports. DFW International has had 739 flights delayed, 74 canceled in and out of DFW Airport. Love Field, no flights have been canceled, but they have had over 170 delays.
Passengers with flights to or from Newark are dealing with a lot of delays and cancellations. It's not the weather. It's air traffic controller shortages.
Literally thousands are needed to fill this a really critical role inside the whole flight path, from getting the flight off the ground and then, of course, landing it safely. In fact, here at EWR, 20% of the ATCs actually walked off the job just recently. So that has been another huge problem that has led to the delays that a lot of passengers are seeing here. And that is what they're trying to fix right now.
That's Marcus Espinoza reporting from News Nation. 1,700 United flights alone are delayed or canceled in Newark.
Well, a massive search is underway across North Texas for a murder suspect who cut off his ankle monitor this morning. Yeah, Trevor McEwen is accused of killing a neighbor back in 2023. Now, his trial, it was supposed to start today, but the Kaufman County Sheriff says that's when McEwen cut off his ankle monitor about 5:30 and never showed up. The sheriff of neighboring Van Zandt County says McEwen may be hiding there. So that's where they've been looking for him, along Highway 80 near Grand Saline. The sheriff's office is now offering a reward, $10,000, if you can help them lead to an arrest.
Allen Police identify a man from Melissa hit over the weekend.
Delving into Allen Police records, we have learned that Kenneth Jackson was crossing Stacy Road along the Allen-Fairview line. Police don't know why, but he apparently stepped right in front of an SUV and the driver had no chance of stopping in time. Jackson was rushed to the hospital where he died. Police spoke to the driver, who did stop at the scene. He is not likely to face charges. From the 24-Hour News Center, Kurt Lewis, News Radio 1080 KRLD.
There's another case of measles here in North Texas.
Denton County Public Health is reporting a child has come down with measles. It's the second case in Denton County this year. Health officials say that child had recently traveled outside of the U.S., and they don't know if the person had been vaccinated. Denton County reported its first measles case last week and provided a list of several places that the adult patient had visited while they may have been contagious. Collin County issued a warning about a public measles exposure a few days ago, and Tarrant County confirmed two cases in unvaccinated people over the weekend. From the 24-Hour News Center, Stephen Pickering, News Radio 1080 KRLD.
White House offering $1,000 payments to undocumented migrants who leave the U.S.
This could potentially save the government at thousands of dollars per person, and the president spoke about this earlier today.
But what we thought we'd do is a self-deport, where we're going to pay each one a certain amount of money, and we're going to get them a beautiful flight back to where they came from, and they have a period of time. And if they make it, we're going to work with them so that maybe someday, with a little work, they can come back in if they're good people, if they're the kind of people that we want in our company, industrious people that could love our country. And if they're not, they won't.
That's Willie James Inman reporting from CBS.
A jury selection is now underway in the sex trafficking and racketeering trial of Sean Diddy Combs in New York. Now, he's been in custody since September on federal charges, and he has pleaded not guilty. CBS's Jared Hill says witnesses will be called to the stand as soon as next week with the first of Diddy's four accusers.
During the trial, Diddy is expected to come face-to-face with his four accusers. They include Cassie, who sued Diddy, accusing him of sexual assault and abuse over the span of a decade. While that lawsuit was settled out of court, it laid the groundwork for this criminal trial.
This is about this individual using a business to run a criminal enterprise.
Attorney Judy Saunders says defense lawyers will try to shift public perception.
You want that jury seeing Mr. Combs as relatable.
As actor Shea Whigham
who is with us right now in studio here on KRLD. That's kind of fun. That must have been fun for you.
Yes.
There you go. Live.
So what was that like?
It was really impressive. It was the coolest. I got a chance to meet some of the old drivers and Waltrip and Casey Kane.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and some of the new guys. To be honest with you, I was pretty nervous, much more nervous doing that one line than I was when I have to,
start your engine.
Yeah. Because you go through it in your head over and over, and then you look up and you see 200,000 plus people and something, I don't care who you are, you freeze.
Yeah, I bet.
You don't want to screw that one up. That's like throwing out the first pitch. Don't bounce it.
I'm going underhand, man, on that.
I'm going to have to remember that.
Shay is here with us because the new Mission Impossible movie, your third Mission Impossible movie, Final Reckoning. This one is coming out, and we wanted to talk to you a little bit about that, but also just a really impressive career you have had. You're one of these guys that we were talking about. Does this offend you when you hear people say
you're in everything?
You might not know his name, but you'd know his face.
Oh yeah.
Does that bug you?
I take offense to nothing.
Good.
About this, the to try to make it in as an actor is so difficult just to begin with that I can find my way in any in these projects I feel lucky.
So like a casting director, they're sitting there and we'll play match game here. We need a blank. Let's call Shay Wiggum.
He'll do it.
Yeah, no, I mean I'm pretty picky on what it is I want to do. When I get a call from like Tom Cruise and Christopher McQuarrie for Mission Impossible. That'll buckle you, man. You know what I mean?
I bet.
I'd done this thing, I was telling the story. I'd done this thing called Homecoming with Julia Roberts, and sometimes you have people like McQuarrie and Cruise, they actually watch stuff. And they saw it, and I'm at a party. I'm at a Hollywood party. I'll never forget the one I go to, the Golden Globes. And I see McQuarrie. I'm seeing everyone there. There's Pitt there. There's Tom Cruise there. And then the old guard, DeVito and Jack Nicholson. And I see McQuarrie across the room. And I go up. We kind of meet in the middle. He said, I just saw Homecoming. I said, oh, I love what you guys do on Mission Impossible. He goes, we're going to write you something.
Oh, great.
And I said the same, just like that. I go, great, man. But if I had a nickel for every time that happened, I'd be another man. So that all calendar year went by, and I get a call in December. From a number that I didn't recognize, and it said, "Is this still you?" Very cryptic. And I said, well, how that could be. And I go, oh. And so, and I go, it is. Who is this? He goes, it's McHugh. It's McQuarrie. I'm going to call you in 1 minute. You need to pick up. You're not going to recognize the number. I got somebody who wants to talk to you. I said, okay. I pick it up, and he goes, hey, it's me. I said, hey, McHugh, it's good to see you. He goes, I got somebody. I go, hello? He goes, hey, it's Tom Cruise. And I go,
yeah.
I said, am I being punked here? And he goes, no, it's Tom. And he said, how would you like to come aboard? Not one mission, but two. We're going to go back to back. We're going to go to Norway. We're going to go to Venice, Italy. We're going to go to Rome. We're going to go to South Africa.
I'll try to work it in somewhere.
Yeah, exactly.
I said, let me see what I can go here, Tom.
Yeah.
How are you going to say no to that?
You don't.
No, you
do
know. Not.
Tom Cruise, man. When I see, he's known for doing his stunts, and it looks great for whatever he is, 58, 59, I don't even know. But how is it? You had to run with him in a lot of these things. Is that guy as athletic as it seems on the camera?
He's as fast. He's jackrabbit quick, man. He's as fast as they come.
Does he really run that way with the arms?
He does everything you see in the movie. And, when I first got on, I thought there might be some smoke and mirrors with these big stunts. Is he really climbing buildings in the Middle East or jumping? Everything he does, it is 100% him. But also what's really fascinating about him, I mean, the stunts are, they continue to get bigger and the movies get better each time. And it's because he cares about the acting. He's an artist as well. And so I marvel at the stunts when he's hanging off the biplane,
yeah.
And that's really him hanging off the biplane. But also, when you get in there and you do a one-on-one scene with him, it's as beautiful as it gets.
awesome. But I got to ask you this real quick. Vice Principals, love that show. How did you keep a straight face with Danny McBride and Walton Goggins?
I'm still grinning, man. Those guys. Well, McBride is one of the secret weapons in what we do. He produces, stars, directs. He writes it. You know what I mean? And he's truly one of the most humble guys, but also most brilliant guys.
Oh, he's funny.
And Walton's having a tremendous moment.
You got the beard going this morning, but I remember in Perry Mason, it was all about the mustache, that pencil thin mustache.
Perry Mason. Love that.
Did that surprise you, the attention that got?
Yeah. You know, I'm working with Colin Farrell, the great Colin Farrell right now. So I've got this going, and I'm playing a wild character. But I had this going from American Primeval, the last Mission Impossible premiere. So I just happened to have, whatever it calls for.
He'll do it.
And I have to ask you, somebody told me, and I didn't believe it at first, so I'm going to ask you right now, Tyler Junior College.
Yep.
You went there.
I did go there. I went there. It's where I kind of got it started and where I first started to kind of tell people I want to be an actor. And that's like, you know, people, what are you going to do if you don't make it? How are you going to make it? And they were so good to me at Tyler Junior College, you know. So that's sort of where it got started.
Awesome.
All right. Mission Impossible, it's the final one?
May 23rd. Okay. We hope people please go see it in IMAX because it's that brilliant.
I have seen one of those in IMAX, and you're absolutely right. It does make all the difference.
Final Reckoning in the title would indicate this is the last. This is it.
You're going to be reckoned with the last time.
I know. I can't. I'm not at liberty to say.
Okay.
But I do hope. We hope people go see it, man. We're proud of it.
Hey, thanks for taking some time. Appreciate it.
Yeah, it's awesome. We appreciate it. Shea Whigham is with us right now. Going upstairs now to hang out with the guys at the fam. But thank you for stopping by. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks Good for having stuff. Me. Okay.
Gavin Spittle has come down from the 11th floor. He's going to join us. Gavin, host of the Spits and Suds podcast. And going to talk about the Stars and what an unbelievable pair of Game 7s we had this weekend.
Yeah, it was great. Hockey is in the spotlight. It's a beautiful thing, boys.
Absolutely. Mikko Rantanen, that game, that third period performance, it's got to be one of the best you've seen.
Yeah, he basically said, get on my back, here we go.
We're not losing this.
Right, and one of the things we talk about when the trade happened was you have to get him because it's very rare to get elite players in any sport, let alone hockey. There are only so many. Mm-hmm. And he falls under that elite category. And while the Stars had really, really good players, they haven't really had an elite player since Mike Modano. So to get a guy like Mikko Rantanen, who does so much and has to be accounted for each time he swings himself over the boards, and we saw what he did in the last two games, it's very impressive.
It's just made history on all sorts of different levels. But be honest, had you given up? We get into the third period.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's 2-0.
Did I give up? I watched it to the end, and I was into it, obviously. That's part of my job. However, they just were not executing. No. And Colorado did an excellent job. It's called keeping them to the outside, basically forcing shots from the outside. And they got a lot of clean looks on net. And when a goalie has clean looks, they're going to save. You know, it's very similar to if you're throwing a baseball player all fastballs. It doesn't matter if it's 101. It's going to be hit after a while because of the timing. So they did a much better job in the third period. Colorado made some crucial mistakes, and that cost them. You know, you cannot take penalties late in the third like Colorado did.
What Rantanen did to his old team is what's more amazing, that or Pete DeBoer's record in Game 7s?
9-0.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. That is an amazing.
Yeah. It's incredible.
Flip side, I'm not so sure about his stats when it comes to Game 1s in these series.
Oh, that's true.
So I don't want Stars fans to panic if they go down 1-0 to Winnipeg. But, yeah, terrific job coaching throughout the series. Remember, they're with out two of their top five players. So to pull this off against a Stanley Cup favorite in Colorado is just absolutely wonderful. So if I have to answer it, I would probably say Mikko Rantanen, just because it's rare to see a hockey player, one player, take over a game like he did in the third period.
All right, you talked about Winnipeg. All right, we haven't had, we played them four times, we lost three of them?
Yeah, it was a bad matchup during the regular season, Austin. They were beat back and forth. Winnipeg's one of those teams, they're physical, they have scoring ability, but the thing the Stars have to watch out for is as soon as they get it out of their defensive zone, they're gone. Second thing, you have the best goalie in the NHL in Connor Hellebuck. He's going to win the Vezina Trophy for the best goaltender for the second straight year. But on top of that, you have the NHL's top defense. So Stars are going to have to work extra hard for quality shots.
Haskinen and Robertson. DeBoer said they'll be back in this series, but he didn't say they'll be back for game one.
Yeah.
At some point in the series.
Yeah, they'll be back, and it'll be interesting for a Winnipeg perspective. They played their game seven without two of their top players, Josh Morrissey and Mark Scheifele. So that is the equivalent, it's so interesting, of Haskinen and Robertson. One defenseman, one forward, and they're both really good. So game one, I think the likelihood is that both teams will be playing with injuries.
Yeah, would you have preferred St. Louis?
Yes, absolutely. Simple explanation. You get four home games, they get three.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Winnipeg's got the...
If it comes down to game seven, you've got that at home.
Home ice advantage.
And that's a good barn up there in Winnipeg.
Yeah.
It is. Do they still have the portrait of the Queen up there?
I'm not sure about that. No. I'm not sure.
That may have been the old arena.
But it's a very small, intimate arena. The fans are really into it. It's the top thing in town.
Oh, yeah.
I have a lot of friends in Winnipeg. Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, they love their Jets. So they have been struggling in the playoffs as of late. So to get that win like they did in a game seven, the town's buzzing up there.
There has been talk because, you know, the Stars and the Avalanche, two of the best teams in the playoffs, and they've got to go at each other in the first round.
Yeah.
So there's been talk about maybe shuffling things around so you get a seeding, a 1-8 seeding kind of thing.
If that was the case, they would have played Edmonton in the first round.
Okay,
so I don't know
that.
If it would have been much better.
Let's move on.
Connor McDavid in the first round as compared to Nathan MacKinnon. Yeah. But the reality is that I agree with you. They should go back to it. The reason they started it real quick was to create division rivalries. And I don't think that's really happened. And partly the Stars issue is, and Colorado for that matter, is they really don't have anyone around them. Rivalries to me have a lot to do with geography.
Yeah.
That's why Minnesota and Winnipeg are such bitter rivals because they're right next to each other. Who's next to Dallas?
Nobody.
The All Local is updated three times a day. For the latest news, weather, and traffic, listen to News Radio 1080 KRLD. Visit KRLD.com, download the Odyssey app, or ask your smart speaker to play News Radio 1080 KRLD.